You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Come on, you yellows, flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to The Original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor, we'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes. Welcome to a Yellow Army podcast on the brink of an FA Trophy trip to Hereford.
With dogs.
We have dogs. Now, I don't think there's going to be any barking, but this big dog...
is doing a lot of bumping into things.
Bumps into things, so you'll hear the odd collision now and then. He just walks around and around.
He's got a pink dinosaur in his mouth.
Yes, yeah. You've painted the picture there.
I know.
And off he goes. And the little one... is on his best behaviour and has promised not to bark. Although okay. If the postman come, Hayden, I'm sorry, we might wake you up. We have much to discuss as ever.
It was a really
disappointing game on Saturday.
Yeah.
The 2-2 with Eastbourne.
Getting back to 2-1, I didn't feel like they were going to give it away again. And they haven't done that too many times this season once they've been in the lead. You know, when they've lost, it's... And they've been losing for most of the game, but it's just giving up those 2 points so easily.
It looked offside to me.
It was offside. I know that there is two schools of thought on that, and you can't really tell from the video because he starts to run out of shot kind of thing, doesn't he?
He does.
But I shouted offside at the time.
Yeah, we all thought he was. Everybody thought he was offside.
I mean, one of the main reasons I shouted offside, he didn't know he was going to go on and score, and he got lucky with it as well, because he didn't really strike it very well, was the Eastbourne website chap celebrated both of their goals far too vigorously.
I don't like that on the press bench.
It shouldn't be happening on the press bench.
No.
So as soon as he did that with the first goal, of course, then I bristled after that. And then I celebrate our goals, and so
you just
imagine his celebration of the equaliser.
I imagine it just escalates from there
it's
on.
One man up and ship.
It should be just a polite round of applause.
It should
well played.
Yeah, it's a press box, for goodness sake.
Good Lord. Anyway, but there we go. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll also talk about the trip to Hereford in the FA Trophy on Saturday, which should be great. We'll talk about a player who played for both teams. We'll talk about an interesting signing that Hereford have made this week, which I had a look at, and that got me to thinking about a bit of nostalgia, which is what we always do best.
Good stuff.
We'll talk about Brixham's big game in the FA Vars as well. We've got a few bits and pieces from the lower leagues, which Julian's been fishing out for us, including, are you aware of the number 9 derby?
No.
I'll tell you about the number 9 derby a little bit later on.
Okay.
But we've been at the press conference this morning. We've been up at the South Devon College.
Yeah, pretty good atmosphere up there.
Yeah,
despite the result.
Yeah, I thought so. Players just starting to arrive for training. Good chat. So have a listen to what Gary says, and we'll be back on the other side of Gary Johnson.
So, Gaff, we're a few days on since the game. Alice, we've obviously had a chance to digest things, Eastbourne match. Has your opinion changed of things at all since then?
No, I think what I said at the end of the game, you know, was that we were disappointed to, of course, draw the game in the end and just pick up the 1 point, and it was 2 points lost because we got ourselves into a good position in 2-1 up, and everything was going well. You know, it was a good atmosphere and the lads were working hard. I mean, it was probably the most, it was the most we've run, as in sprints, high speed runs, total distance, since I've been in. The reason why that was because we worked hard to win the ball, and then we gave the ball back, and then we had to work hard again to get the ball back. You know, we want to get most of our high speed runs, sprints, when we're in possession of the ball. So we've got to do a lot more, we've got to do a lot better in retaining possession than we did the last game. So we work on it every day. You know, it's our game, and you know, Brett had somebody marking him, so you know, it was one that it's taught him a lesson that you have to, you know, he's had a great season, but he's you have to lose people sometimes. You have to, but for whatever reason, and we didn't get our game going for long enough, and hopefully we can get that back very quick.
You mentioned Brett there. He seems to be having his own goal of the season competition at the moment, and it shows the respect that he's held in by the other teams in the division, that you know, he's now a key point and player in this side, and like you said, he's trying to be marked out against now.
Yeah, well, it's up to other players to step up to the plate, so that they have to worry about not, you know, just one or two players. They have to worry about 11 players, you know, 10 outfield players. And really, when we're going well, that's what happens, because then everybody interchanges, everybody's you know, full of confidence. We got to fight through this little patch like we did just before we got the 4 wins on the trot. And a couple of results have gone for us, and a couple haven't gone for us. We've got to be careful about looking at the league table too deeply, other than we're going to be games behind, because again, Saturday we play Hereford in the FA Trophy, so we would miss what would normally be for all the other teams that are not in the trophy. They're playing another game, so we'll be 1, 2, 3 games in hand of a lot of the teams. A lot of the teams behind us have played 2 games more, and certainly some of the teams above us are the same. They've all played more games than us. Now, that's not points in the bag, it's just games in the bag. But if we do have a good run in the FA Trophy, then we're going to be more games behind. So we're going to need to probably try very hard to get a bigger squad. Look forward to getting the injured lads back to create that bigger squad. They're all narrowly getting closer, you know, they can only be ready when they're ready. A lot of them had seen specialists this week, and there is sort of a definitive day that they all, not day, but they've all got games where they're striving for. A couple of them are in after this game against Hereford. There's a couple, 2 or 3 that will be back, we think. And then beyond that, we play Chippenham, and I think some may be back for the Worthing game. So that's what we're trying to... that's the words of the specialist for each individual. So we're hoping to get another 7, 8 players back into first team Saturday, Tuesday, football.
I guess the other thing that you've always got to guard against, Gaffer, is bringing back players too early. It was good to see Ace Hall back, and actually, even if it was brief cameo last Saturday.
Yeah, again, it's a matter of confidence. You know, if somebody's been out for a long time, or it's an injury that they might have had before, they've got to grow in confidence that it's not going to break down again and be another 10 weeks or something. especially the ones that have been out, you know, Acer hasn't been out that long, but some of them have been out quite a few weeks. So we've got to just make sure that before we put them in, they're confident to jump their highest, run their fastest, challenge, tackle, interceptions, without thinking about their injury that they just had. So that's the mental state we've got to get them into, that they're not even thinking about their, the previous injury.
It's probably too simplistic to say that during the five-win game-winning run, the team started more often than not strongest. It's tailed off a little bit, and obviously the results likewise. But it's important to remember, obviously, there's two teams that are both trying to start well, isn't it? Mm. And if you don't start well, the reaction that you want is probably similar to the result that that you had on Saturday, when your team actually came back from goal behind to lead.
Yeah, we just, you know, we needed to create a few more opportunities than we did, and that's why we say that we mustn't give the ball away as many times as we did. When we reviewed the game, that was the highlight of what we was highlight, more of the low light. In the chat that we have with the lads, we always have a review. Some of them were, most of them were disappointed in their own games. I think what you got with this group of lads is not one of them not trying. There's not one of them that's a problem in the dressing room. There's not one of them that's disliked by the other members. And so I think we take it badly, because we're all trying to do well for each other, and we are a close unit. And you know, I can be in somebody's face and be saying, you're not doing enough, and they know I'm doing it for the right reasons, for them basically, and obviously for our football club. And they all do get disappointed. I know you asked me a question last week, but they all do get really disappointed and feel that we've let the fans, that we all do, I do, Danzy does, the squad do, the directors do, you know, you but you feel that you've let the supporters down sometimes. And we work really hard to try and you know, get a run of games where you can be back where we were previously, which was at least second, and that's what we're all working very hard to do. But it's a very strong dressing room as far as passion for this football club is concerned. So then you've got a chance. You've got a chance to fight through it, and that's what you've got to do, is fight through it.
So different competition this weekend, and of course it is a competition that you've won before with Yeovil Town. Obviously at the season, I'm sure that everybody's priority was to win promotion gap this league, but where does the FA Trophy sit in your list of priorities at the start of the season?
It's the highest one at the moment, because that's our next game. I'm sorry that I always say that, but that is the answer to it. And you want to go into every game wanting to win it, whoever it is, because it breeds good habits. You know, we were disappointed with the result last game, and so we want to take that out of our minds and win the next one, because every time you lose one, you have to work even harder if you can to start a run of wins, or you need people, you know, coming back so that you can leave someone out and might be a bit tired, he's worked very hard, but you go, have a rest, be ready for next Saturday. If it's Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, and some might have to miss a Tuesday, but we haven't got that those numbers yet. And like everything else, we've been out there, these are not excuses, we've been out there and we've had you know, people that we've chased, people that we've got very close to, but you know, we're competing with a lot of teams, not just at this level, teams that, if you want to get back to the National League and into the Football League, you've got to find National League and Football League players. Now, you know, sometimes they want to come, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes their agents don't want to come, their wives don't, you know, so there's, but we're hoping to make a couple of signings in the next couple of weeks, if not before. So you get to a certain stage where something happens and it goes through, sometimes it doesn't go through for whatever reason. So, but we've probably when you're speaking to tens of players as opposed to one or two, and because you have to have that many people, so that, you know, obviously things, a lot of them keep their options open to see what's happening through January, you know, and they don't jump in with the first people that ask them if they're interested in joining us. But there will be, I keep nodding because we've got our injury list behind us and our players, but you know, if I can make those 7-8 signings up there, then and they're ours, if we could, you know, then, you know, there's 8 great signings there that we can make, and we've got to be aware of, because we can't fill the squad just for numbers. They've got to be better than that group up there, because they'll be coming back.
And finally, Gaff, looking at the opponents on Saturday, a little bit unusual because you're playing a fellow side and at the same level, but obviously because of the geographical split at National League, National League South and North. Not a team that we would have played this season. What do you know about that?
Well, I'm sure they'll know as much about us as we know about them. You know, we've all got Y Scout, we all can watch the games and dissect it and pause it and move it on again, you know. So you have to know the opposition's strengths. Obviously, you need to look for their weaknesses as well, as they will do with us. You do your preparation, you do all your tactics, your own. If certain players for them, who are their danger players, you know, what we've got to look for. But let's make us the danger players for them. And then, if you get your own game out, then that'll bring out the opposition's deficiencies. But everybody thinks like that, and it's, the North and South has got very professional nowadays. And there's some good managers about, very good managers. And so we, and you know, tactically, your players have to go out there and perform what they've been doing all week. And be a tough game. They're doing okay. They're doing well. They lost their last game. I think they've lost a couple of players through sending off and an injury, but you know, not as much as us. But we're looking forward to it. It's a nice little stadium. Been there many times. And it'll be a good one to win, because to get into the last 16 for either team will be, you know, you start looking at the FA Trophy very differently once you start getting into the, not differently, but you start, you realise you've only got a couple of games before you get to the final.
With the 8 players injured that you were talking about, in the last round you turned to some of the youth team to play, I was going to say make up the numbers, but that's the wrong way of putting it. They were really part of the team. I wouldn't expect you to name a team on a Thursday, because I know you wouldn't do it, but have the young players been involved again this week?
Yeah, they have, and you know, they was involved last week, a couple of them, one of them was Thomas on the bench. The difference with the league and the trophy is that you can have 7 subs in the trophy. Chance would be a fine thing, but anyway, it gives you a great opportunity to involve the lads and get the young lads from our youth team that have been doing well. It gives them an incentive for the youth team manager, Kevin Wills, to tell us who's been doing well, you know, who's looking dangerous, who's ready, who's not ready, and they then know that actually there is a bit of a route to the first team if they're good enough. And so we do it in stages. Kev will recommend players to us. We then bring them in, have a look at the training, etc. Decide which ones we're going to put on the bench, depending on what positions we need. And then given that experience of being around the dressing room, hearing me and Downsy at half-time, before the game, at half-time and after the game, so it doesn't come as a shock, or they're not apprehensive when they do get their chance, if and when they're ready. So yeah, we've done it with a few lads, and some have, you know, come through and done all right, and some haven't quite made that step. Well, these lads, you know, will get their opportunity to take that route, and if they're good enough, they'll come through in the end.
When they were warming up before the game on Saturday down in front of the pop side, you could see Thomas get a real lift when he heard his name read out. I mean, it's, you know, it's a big thing for these
lads.
When he
did jump up in the air or something.
Almost. Very nearly, very nearly.
Great.
But, you know, it's a big thing for these lads, isn't it, exactly, to be involved with the first team?
It is, and it's a big, great news for the families. Mm. You know what I mean? You know, they, all us dads always think our sons are the best players in the world, and sometimes if somebody else is, you know, is moving your son, their son up the progress ladder, they realise that you think that too, that they're going to be players. And yeah, he's the thing is, he's not to get too ambitious, not ambitious, but too upset if you don't play, or you just enjoy the experience.
Yeah.
You know, we've done it with Callum Thomas, and you know, we were going to loan him out, that might have been his next move, but he's done so well, and obviously with our numbers, but it's because he's done well, not because of the numbers, that we trust him. We trust him now to, you know, he's a bloke now, he trains like a bloke, and he's, whenever we've needed him, he's come in and done very well. So that's the route, and he's managed to take that step and become a man overnight almost, you know, so that's what we got to do.
Didn't you say in your piece Lee Sharp? It was a long time between Lee Sharp's first appearance. 8 months
between his first appearance and his second.
8 months?
Yeah,
is it really? Yeah.
Yeah. There's a precedent, isn't there? You know, they've just got to be patient. And
yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. Because it is. I know sometimes it doesn't look like it, but you've got some very experienced players in this league. And, you know, people talk about part-time players. They're not part-time, they call it hybrid, and you know, they'll train 2 or 3 times a week, most of them.
Tuesdays and Thursdays,
yeah, but it's obviously they probably, a lot of them will be earning good money at their jobs, also getting money from their clubs, and so, you know, it's very difficult to take somebody out of that sometimes who's got a family and having to look after them and a mortgage and kids and things like that, to entice them to take, you know, especially if they're in a good job, you know, and you'll find that the finances of a good job and a football salary is very difficult to beat. You know, having said that, you know, our club, and we do, I don't say things, our club has made some very, very good offers to certain people that we've had over since I've been here. And if they do come back into the game, these people, then they want to come back into the game at a league level. You know, that's rather than Conference South at this moment in time. So we've got to work very hard to get A, back into the National League, and then you know, fight our way into the Football League. That's the aim, that's the club's aim, that's our aim, that's the players' aim. You know, obviously we won't have exactly the same group as we had, as you know, the next year or the next year after that, because things are going to change like they have done. You know, if we could, we could have kept all our players that have left, you'd have picked we can pick a very good team out of that, and other teams have you know, gained from our work, if you like. So, but as I say, we try very hard to keep them, but it's just the nature of the game. You know?
So, good chat with Gary.
Yeah, interesting. Some interesting things he said about injuries and about hopefully a couple of new players at some point soon.
Yeah, he was. In fact, he said that not in response to a question either.
He wanted to get that in.
He was obviously quite keen that we should know that there is a possibility of players coming in soon. That injury list, obviously, we're looking at Aaron Jarvis.
Yeah.
That's an injury with contact during a game.
4 weeks, we reckon.
Yeah.
Another 4 weeks, yeah.
No, missed a lot of games now. Kevin Dawson, hamstring.
Interestingly, possibly next month.
Tom Lapsley, contact injury in a game. That was that Weymouth game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which,
could be back at the weekend.
I don't think he'll be back at the weekend.
No, you think he'll be back for the next game.
He might be back for Dover, but there you go. Finney Krask, that's an injury in training.
Yeah.
Brad Ash, that was also an incident in that Weymouth game.
Yeah. He's not far off, I don't think.
Ethan Archer is cup tied.
No Ethan Archer on Saturday.
Jack Stobbs hamstring, that's still got a few weeks to go. Yeah. And Ryan Hansen, of course, I hadn't realised that Ryan had got himself injured.
No, well, they didn't tell us. The only time that we realised that Hansen wasn't playing because he was injured was when the team sheet came out.
So he's out at the moment. You couldn't make it up, that level of injuries, but we've just got to do what we can do. It was a very interesting little piece of research that we did, and I've probably lost it now. There's frantic rustling of paper. So I wrote this down. Here it is. The difference between the game that we won 4-1 up at Eastbourne on November the 28th.
Yeah. Well, two of the goal scorers weren't playing for a start.
Players who started the game up there,
mm-hmm.
who didn't start on Saturday, Tom Lapsley, obviously. Yeah. Brad Ash, who scored one of the goals. Callum Dolan, who scored two of the goals. He's gone back to a parent club.
Yeah.
Jack Stobbs, who was obviously instrumental in the victory. And from the bench, Theo Williams, who has got an injury and has gone back to his parent club.
Yeah.
And Dylan Crowe, who isn't on that list but didn't feature last week. So I was guessing he was injured.
He wasn't on that list. Yeah, you're right. But there must be a reason he wasn't playing.
So those are
in the squad.
And the players who've come in their place, Will Jenkins-Davies,
yeah.
Who wasn't available.
Yeah, didn't have the greatest game on Saturday.
I don't think anybody did.
No, I think that's probably true.
Osman Foyo, who...
Yet to
really catch fire,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah,
you know, he might well do. He looks a player. He works hard. He's very physical. But he hasn't really influenced a game yet.
No.
He's being asked to do an awful lot, though, isn't he?
Yes.
He's being asked to be Rene Howe.
Yeah.
He's being asked to play with his back to goal, hold the ball up and bring players in.
Mm.
And that's a lot to expect against journeyman national defenders.
It was interesting, the formation.
Yeah.
The kind of three-pronged attack.
Mm. You were right. So you called it before the game. I did think when the teams were read out, I thought, I must text Richard because he got that bang on. Callum Thomas wasn't involved back in November. He's working his way into the squad.
Be unhappy if you had to use Callum as a defender.
Thomas Chastey obviously wasn't involved back in November.
No.
As I mentioned to Gary, you could actually see the lift that being in that team gave him.
Brilliant.
And he heard his name come up on the PA. Well, who wouldn't, to be honest? It was
when my name's been on the PA, guy, I was quite happy.
I'll bet. Dan Martin, who's getting back to fitness, he came on.
Yeah.
He wasn't available back in November. And Asa Hall.
Big difference, isn't it?
It is. It's a huge difference when you look at it. And it's marquee signings. I know that phrase gets bandied about.
Gary said a couple of times, hasn't he, that just look at those injured players. If you were signing those now, that would strengthen your squad immeasurably.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You would want to sign those eight players. Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly. And we haven't got them. So that just kind of puts it in context. It was disappointing, the Eastbourne game. We went behind. We got back in front. Dylan De Silva's goal.
Great goal. But he doesn't do that enough for me. Mm. It was absolutely deliberate. Running up the player, taking them on, making himself some space and shooting. I don't see him doing that enough.
But now he's done it. But I don't know. I think there's a proper player in there in Dylan. I think he's going to give us good things this season.
Okay.
Maybe when he's got a better centre forward.
Yeah.
I'm not running down Osman Foyer because I think he's a good player. But when he's got an Aaron Jarvis in there who is going to get across the fullback to the near post on those crosses.
Yeah. Or a Brad Ash even.
Yeah, absolutely. Then I think we might see it. Will Jenkins-Davies, nice finish. That was good work by De Silva again down the right, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Laid that one on.
Yeah.
And then the goal that was, well, it happens, doesn't it? Whenever you haven't got, Milo, do you have to do that? Sorry, just a little bit of dog intervention there. You know, it always happens. Linesmen don't put their flags up.
It just looks so offside. It wasn't that kind of...
And Dean Moxey got back. To be fair to him, Dean Moxey got back.
Yeah, and then
Mark Holston got the challenge.
Yeah, they both. The guy kind of hit the ball into the floor, and it came off of, I mean, I'm not going to say it wasn't an own goal because it was going in the right direction. Yeah. So that's not an own goal, but it was kind of, yeah.
It was a frustrating game. It was a game we came away from the game, yeah, very, very frustrated.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did make one little note. Did you notice that their keeper called a timeout in the second half?
Yeah, and with that was up for discussion on the press bench. It was diabolically obvious, wasn't it?
Well, he went across to the bench. This was just after Torquay had scored their second goal.
Yeah.
He walked across to the bench, yeah. Took instructions, walked back.
And then lay down then like he'd down. Been shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the referee, Gary has said to us in the past, this is part of the dark arts of football. If the goalkeeper goes down,
we've
the referee
seen Mark
has to stop
do
the
it
game.
A couple of times, yeah. To be fair, but not that
not
blatantly.
Quite so blatantly, yeah. Is that? So the goalkeeper goes down in instalments. The referee has no option but to stop the game, at which point the Eastbourne players and eventually the Torquay players all go racing over to the bench for a little team talk.
Yeah, for a timeout.
I've never seen a timeout called quite so effectively as
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was
match.
Strange.
But there you go.
They have timeouts in basketball, don't they? Is that an official thing, isn't it?
They do,
That's where that little T sign with the fingers comes
that's
from.
That's it. And American football.
Oh, they have it in American football as well.
American football. I was watching a game. My daughter is a big NFL fan. I was watching a game the other day. And the team that still had three timeouts with about 40 seconds left on the clock. And it's baffling, American football, isn't it? NFL.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's look ahead instead of looking back. This could be a big weekend for the Wellingtons.
Okay.
We're just seeing Brixham. Aaron Wellington plays for Brixham.
Yeah.
They've got a big game. Jake Wellington played in the FA Trophy for Torquay in the last round.
Yeah. What about the other brother, Beef?
I'll let you take that up. It's the fourth round of the FA Trophy. We're at Hereford. It's the last 32. So it begins to get...
It begins to get a little interesting. Bit interesting. Yeah. Obviously, we've not really had a tough game in it. Well, we have. We had Yeovil, but that's the only game that you might consider on paper to be really tough that we've had. Hereford might be a bit...
Hereford, they came in at the same... they're fifth in National
League.
They're kind of on a par with us. They lost at Scarborough on Saturday, but that was their first defeat in seven games. They're on a bit of a run.
They're on form.
It's going to be a tough game, this one.
What do you know about Hereford, Guy?
Well, they beat Redbridge in the second round by 4-1. They beat South Park in the third round, 1-0. I thought they were just a load of cartoon characters.
Yeah, but that Kenny, he goes missing, doesn't he?
It's all to do with the chef, isn't it? I can't remember South Park.
I was going to do the theme tune, but I don't think I will do.
This will be their third home draw in the trophy. Yep. So they've been at home all the time. Hereford, it just goes back so far with Hereford. We used to play them, we've said it's on the podcast before, at least three times a season.
Yeah.
Twice in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
And
at least one in the League Cup, wouldn't it?
The
first round.
Or the League Cup or the FA Cup. We'd end up playing Hereford at least three times a season. It is, as Gary said, it's a nice ground, Edgar Street. It's old, it's a bit creaky, but, you know.
Like us, Guy.
Yeah, it's one of those grounds that we love. Edgar Street. It's going to be one of those kind of places where
that was the postman
and the dog didn't bark.
No,
he knows. He knows we're recording
very
the podcast.
Good.
It's going to be a good game. Quite a lot of Torquay fans going. There is a coach going. Supporters coach is going up.
You don't fancy it?
Well. Yeah, I'm going.
Oh, you're going. You're going.
Going on the coach. Always a good day out on the coach. Good atmosphere. I'm hoping for a bit more luck. We have a little draw where you predict what minute the first goal is going to be in. I've missed it by about 2 minutes the last couple of times.
Oh dear.
It's a bit better luck this time.
Too close, but not close enough.
Player who played for both, obviously Dave Rudge is the player who springs to mind.
Yeah.
He played a lot of games for Aston Villa. Played 60 games for the Villa when he died.
Back in the days when they were a bit lower than they are today.
Yeah, that's true. They're doing well. Mm. He died in 2022 at the age of 74. There were a lot of tributes paid by Villa at the time. You know, he was very popular there. Played for Hereford from 1972 to 1975. Came to Torquay in 75. Played 71 games, got 4 goals for us.
Yeah.
And is very fondly remembered. He was one of those players who stuck around the club after he retired. He was always around Torquay United. He did some of the events with the supporters club and stuff like that.
Good stuff.
Very popular guy, Dave Rudge. Hereford just signed quite an interesting player There's a player called Topi Obadiyi.
Okay.
I thought, I'll look him up, because they were making quite a song and dance about signing him. He's had 19 clubs. He's 34 years old. He was at Argyle on loan in 2014 and did quite well down there. He's on loan now. Hereford have loaned him from Banbury Town for the rest of the season.
Wow.
But he's an England under 19 and under 20 international back in the day. He's played for, and this isn't an exhaustive list, he's been other places on loan, Bolton, Oldham, Swindon, Rochdale, Sochaux in France, Dundee United, Kilmarnock, and Gloucester City, for whom he scored 9 goals last
season. Sounds like the tour dates for a very small indie band.
With Sochaux playing it. Yeah. That'd be some kind of festival, wouldn't it? But he's obviously, in his time, been quite a decent player, and they're very pleased to get him. So we'll look out for him.
Danger man.
A 34-year-old winger. Whether he still plays on the wing, or whether they're going to play him up front, or whether he plays at all. Mm. But he's one to look out for. Topi Obadiyi.
Obadiyi.
And that got me thinking. This is what took me down. Well, I should have been doing some actual work this morning. But
you went down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. Players who played for a lot of clubs. It got me thinking about a player called Frank Large, who played... He started his career with Halifax in 1958. He finished it with Baltimore Comets in 1974.
During that whole era of players finishing their careers over there.
Yeah. And he played for 12 teams in between. And in 586 league games, he scored 218 goals, which is not bad in turn. Centre forward. The reason I remember him really well, back in the day when you bought a football programme, this may be before your time, Richard, some of our listeners will remember, when you bought your programme at Playmore, there was a magazine inside it called the Football League Review.
Yes, I do remember it, yeah.
And they were fabulous little magazines. They were really good. I wish I'd kept some. Somebody must collect them,
yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, I expect so.
But the Football League Review was a great magazine. And I remember one front cover that had Frank Large on it. And it had lots of little head and shoulders pictures of him in the kits of the teams that he played for. Because back then, 12 teams... Was
a lot, yeah. It happens a bit more these days. I mean, we've had some players, haven't we, that have been at lots of clubs.
But loans and things like that changed all that now. But he played three different spells for Northampton Town.
Did he?
Yeah, he kept going back to Northampton Town. He was a centre
shame
forward.
He couldn't play three more times, and then he would have played for them six ways.
Oh, I like that. Just jot that down. He died in 2003, died a long time ago, but his son has written a book about his
dad. Oh, wow, that's cool.
Which is called Have Boots, Will Travel.
Yeah.
And I might seek it out.
Yeah.
Sounds like the sort of book we might enjoy. And obviously, I've got the modern equivalent of a book token for Christmas.
Have you now?
One of those little gift cards from a well-known high street bookstore.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and see if they've got that. Remember when you used to get record tokens?
Yeah, I used to love record tokens.
Fantastic. Your granny, who didn't know what to buy you.
Yeah.
Shall I get him that Top of the Pops compilation?
No, get him a John Menzies record token.
That's it. Or K-Tel's 22 great hits or something. Or a record token. But yeah, so yeah, Have Boots, Will Travel. Might have a look at that.
There's a podcast in shops we've lost, isn't there?
There is. Well, yeah, John Menzies, where would you have gone in Torquay with a record token?
Well, Flocks, John Menzies, yeah.
Sounds
well. You wouldn't get a record token like you do in nowadays, where you can go into any shop and kind of use it. It would be specific to a shop, wouldn't it? So I don't think the Sounds did record tokens,
didn't they? I thought record tokens were like book tokens. You could take them anywhere, maybe not.
No, I think they're specific. Yeah. I think that's a kind of modern thing. I think W.H. Smith's when it was down the bottom.
Yeah. Paul Pinch and Harris Osborne in Paignton, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a Sounds in Paignton as well, wasn't
there? It was, yeah. Corner of Hyde Road.
Mm.
This is stuff for another day, obviously. It's stuff for our music podcast.
Yeah, yeah, which we keep on promising.
We are now planning and we have ideas. We'll keep you posted on that. Big day for Brixham on Saturday.
Big day
as well.
For Brixham, yeah.
Long away trip. They're in the fourth round of the FA Vars, which
we're still hoping that Torquay and Brixham play Wembley finals on the same day, which would be an extraordinary thing.
Wouldn't that be fantastic? What a day out. There'd be nobody left in Torbay. Yeah. There'd certainly be nobody left in Brixham.
No.
It would be great. Brixham are away at North Greenford. They're both in step 5.
Yeah, North Greenford are... Well, I've been there. I went there. I told you just before, it's where the Parrots are. The parakeets.
The parakeets in the trees.
Nesting around the trees. They're quite a small club at that level, to be fair. They've played higher. They used to be in the Southern League, because that's when I went to see one of the teams I covered in Cambridgeshire there, because it was close to home. Don't know, it'd be interesting. I'm not sure.
They play in the, you'll like this, they play in the Cherry Red Records, Combined Counties League Premier Division North.
Yeah.
So it's the CRRCCLPDN.
Yeah. They're playing. If you're like me and try to stick to journalistic rules, I always have to put the whole of the name of the division first before then abbreviating it to whatever.
Yeah.
But, that's a long one.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah.
They beat a team called Hollands and Blair in the first round.
Sounds 3-2. Like some kind of
works team, maybe.
Yeah.
They beat Bedfont Sports in the second round,
3-1.
And they beat Roffey FC 2-1 in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
They have a player. Did you ever think that Marvellous Nakamba was, you know, having a name like that, you had to live
you
up
to? You
have
to be good, yeah.
North Greenford have got one as well. They've got Deluxe Mwengula, and it's D-E-L-U-X-E, just like a Ford Capri.
Yeah, brilliant.
Deluxe Mwengula. So he's is he a luxury player?
Well, let's hope not on Saturday. Be interesting to see. They don't get a lot of people at their games. They get very small crowds. It's not a big ground. It's more like a park than a ground. And Brixham have got their Brixham Casuals, who are based in London. And with the people who obviously exiled in London anyway, and then there's people who will be coming up from Brixham, strange dog noises, there could be more Brixham fans there than possibly the home fans, so that'll be interesting to see.
There'll be a lot going up from Brixham.
Yeah.
Big day out.
Yeah.
Brixham, of course, beat Cows away
on the Isle of Wight
in round two.
Yeah.
Because they were excused round one because they did so well last season.
Yeah.
And they beat Downton in round three.
Yeah.
So big game for Brixham. Let's hope they do well. And as you say, both the FA Vars and FA Trophy finals played on the same day at Wembley at the end of the season, and both of our teams are still in.
Mm.
Let's hope we're still saying the same thing next week.
We couldn't really enjoy the FA Trophy in 2008, could we? Because we'd just gone out the playoffs.
Mm. Yeah, and it wasn't a great game.
No, it was horrible.
And it was Ebbsfleet, and it was a bad experience. So
the circus came to town, didn't it?
Yeah, let's hope we can. Let's hope we can go back and have a slightly better day out this time. And Julian's been scouring the non-league, the lower leagues for us for a bit of information. He's been digging. Jake Andrews is now the captain of Swindon Supermarine.
Is he really? Crikey Moses, all that way down there.
They lost 4-3 at home to Beaconsfield.
Yeah, 7-D Premier.
They're in the same division as Plymouth Parkway and Tiverton.
Tiverton, yeah.
And there were 120 fans there to see it.
He had something, but obviously
it just didn't quite
work.
Yeah, it didn't quite gel, did it? That last season he was with us, it just didn't seem to happen for him. But I'm not knocking the Southern League Premier, but I thought he probably could have continued playing higher. There you go. And there was a big game in Southern League Division 1 South last weekend at Exmouth. Exmouth 1, Wimborne 4.
Yeah.
Kevin Hill 1, Tim Sills 4.
Yeah. Manager of... they're struggling, Exmouth, at the moment.
Are they?
They've got some decent players, but it's just not clicking.
It's a shame because it's a good club.
Yeah.
Good
you don't want them to drop out of that division.
No, absolutely not. It's a good club. It's a well-run club. I know some of our podcast listeners go and watch Exmouth and talk your away. Let's hope they can pull that around. Good to see Tim doing well at Wimborne.
Yeah, he's doing fantastically at Wimborne. They're top and flying.
I think it was the Exmouth game. He actually posted some pictures on social media. I'm not sure if his team did it, but he went for a sea swim at Exmouth before the game on Saturday. It was about -6, wasn't it?
Nutter.
Good grief, man. There you go. Other ex-Torquay players in the headlines. Bobson Balling was man of the match for Haringey in a 2-1 win over Canvey Island.
Okay.
And Calvin Kalala scored in a 1-1 draw for Lewis at Cray Wanderers in the Isthmian League Premier, where Wingate and Finchley are now fourth.
Mm.
And that's the league immediately below us.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we don't get promoted this year, teams like Billericay, Cray... Lewis, Haringey, Canvey Island, Wingate and Finchley are all vying for a place in the league that we're in.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how these things are starting to come together?
Well, I mean, so are Tiverton and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Although they're mid-table. I mean, if they were got on a spurt and got up, yeah, then they'd be in the same division as us.
Yeah. How have things come to
I mean, you would have thought about that at Taunton, wouldn't you? I mean,
yes, you would. So. Yeah, that's true. And Weymouth at one time.
Yeah.
But there he goes. Sorry, got caught having a slurp of coffee there. And the number 9 derby.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about the number 9 derby.
The number 9 derby. It was Hales Owen 1, Stourbridge 0 in the pitching in Southern Premier Central.
Yeah. Which
presumably that's a league below us as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
3,000 fans there
right,
to see it. And it's called the number 9 derby because the number 9 bus goes from Hales Owen to
Stourbridge. No.
It's the number 9 derby.
Ah, fantastic. I like that.
It's named after the bus route.
Have they got a tunnel, though?
Probably.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Oh, that's good. I like
Hales Owen Stourbridge, the number 9 derby.
The I once went to, now I'm just going to be careful, remember, Shepshep Dynamo and Loughborough Dynamo, I think it was.
Yeah.
I went to their derby as a part of a magazine article, and so it's the Dynamo derby anyway, because yeah, they're only about eight miles apart, and there's a lane that links the two towns that you can cycle down, and then the ground is basically there.
Okay.
And the ground shares the name with the lane, and it's Butthole Lane.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Butthole Lane.
Yeah.
I'm
you're speechless, aren't you?
I was lost for words. Well, and did you cycle down?
I did cycle down Butthole Lane, yeah.
Between Shepshed
and Loughborough.
Loughborough. Yeah. Well, there you go. These, it's surprising how some of these derbies that you don't think about attract huge crowds.
Yeah.
Because of the tradition of them, and some of them, Wrexham Chester is a massive game, isn't it? And Wrexham Shrewsbury got quite bad tempered as well, didn't it, in the cup the other day? Oh, I mean, I know all games involving Wrexham have a certain edge to them these days, but that's got a little bit out of hand.
No, so there's lots of football happens when you're not looking, doesn't it?
It does.
Lots going on.
It does. And lots going on below the Premier League. What are your thoughts on this mid-season break, Rich?
I think it's rubbish.
Did Brian Clough's Nottingham Forest need a mid-season break,
no,
Rich?
No. One of the things that's wound me up again this week, Guy, it was last week, Saturday.
Go on.
You were able to watch a stream of Torquay's game again.
On a Saturday.
Because they'd lifted the Saturday block because there was no Premier League.
Okay.
Now, my thought, originally, when the Saturday block was there to protect football.
Yeah.
Not just the Premier League.
No.
It was there so that if Premier League could be viewed on a Saturday, people wouldn't go to Buckland or here or there.
Absolutely.
But apparently not anymore. Apparently it's to protect the Premier League because you can now watch and stream any game.
Mm. I honestly thought it was there to protect lower league football.
Well, if that's the case, why is it lifted when there's no Premier League?
Absolutely.
It doesn't make any sense.
No. But you still can't, officially, you can't stream a Premier League game at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, can you?
You can't stream any game at 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
Everybody does, because everybody's got these little sticks they put in the back of their TVs.
Then they should reevaluate their lives, because that's piracy.
That
winds me up as well.
But people do. People do.
No, I know they do.
Saturday afternoons, people will sit and watch the Premier games in pixelated, low definition.
Yeah, really bad. Yeah.
Coming from somewhere in mid Europe, somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
But not for me, thank you. I would much rather be at a live game, be at Torquay. Or any of the other...
Or Buckland or Brixham or...
Go to a live game. Go and watch Paint and Saints.
Yeah.
I've seen some good games up at White Rock involving Paint and Saints over the years. Just go and watch a game. People will be glad you were there.
Yeah.
But, don't sit in and watch streaming Premier.
No.
They really need it. But, yeah, the winter break, what on earth is all that about?
I don't know. It's just...
It's not because
they get paid well enough to just do the job.
They have winter break in Scotland.
I understand there is a slight argument about injuries and the amount of games they have to play now compared to what they used to have to play, but
they choose to go off and play
and then when they go off and do things. That
and they choose to spend pre-season
in
Dubai playing tournaments
or America
or whatever they do. I can understand why they have a mid-season break in Scotland, because the weather's dodgy and they get a lot of games called off. So if everybody has those 10 days, 2 weeks off, it saves a fixture congestion end of the season.
I just think it's rubbish.
Yeah, I agree. We sound like old farts.
We do.
But there we go. I suspect that many of our listeners out there would put themselves in the same bracket.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we are asleep.
Yeah, I wouldn't be at all surprised. Ladies and gents, thank you very much for listening. We've kind of cut the time down a little bit this week.
Yeah.
We went from a 1 hour 20, we down to an hour last week.
Yeah.
I think we may be less than an hour this week.
45 minutes, I reckon.
Absolutely.
I'll let you know.
So take care of yourselves. If you're going to Hereford, have a good trip.
Yeah,
and I'll
enjoy
see
it.
You there, because I'm really looking forward to it. Otherwise, we'll be back to chat next week. And in the meantime,
come on, you yellows.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley Archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. Full of pride, buckle up for the ride of yellows.